This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Well, wow, you move like a pregnant rhino.
And Chad P.
Well, that's what I said, 91, but it's not 80s. I said, no, it's not 80s. All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Really?
That was the conversation.
Class is in.
And the Turfer Show continues. It's the year 2010, and we are taking a look back. This is Rock School. My name is Joe Burns, a professor in the Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University. Sitting to my immediate left.
Yeah.
Left. We're in a brand new studio. We were, for the longest time, relegated to an office because they have been, recarpeting and
re-everything.
Yeah. But they're beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
New studios. Look at this. It's almost as if real radio is being done. Yeah. We'll change that thinking for a little bit. What's your name, kid?
Chad P.
Okay. This is the second of a twofer show for this, the first 2 weeks of the year. Let me real quickly tell you, if you've missed the first show, I believe we can go to the website and pick that up.
Yep.
Yeah. What's the website?
KSLU.org. Look for the Rock School chalkboard on the right-hand side, and there are all of our archive shows back from 2007.
Right. We will celebrate our third year anniversary this year.
Yep.
And you can get us on iTunes. What we did was take a look back in 1960. It was 50 years back from this year.
Mm-hmm.
1970, 40 years back. Mm-hmm. That's what we did last week.
Yep.
We are now in the year 1980.
Stuff I know. Thank you.
Where Chad turns 30.
Stop rubbing it in.
Chad's going to turn 30. So, last week we finished up with the death of Bon Scott. Let me tell you a few other things. On March 80, 30 years ago, March 8th, not March 80, March 8th, the first rock music festival in the Soviet Union.
What?
Kicks off. It happened in Tbilisi. It was called Spring Rhythms. Also on June 1st, the cable news network was officially launched. And on April 14th, this is one of those bands that you think has been around forever. Iron Maiden's debuted self-titled album, Iron Maiden, is released. And Paul Di'Anno is actually the singer.
Oh.
It was not always the guy you're used to. From the self-titled debut album, to kick it off, this is Prowler, Rock School. Iron Maiden on Rock School.
Oh, Iron Maiden, Iron Maiden.
What a way to kick off the show, dude. Good selection.
One of the bands with three guitarists in it. I'm actually putting a show together of bands that have three guitarists
To me, that gets a little crowded on stage, don't you think?
No, not really. What you have is a rhythm guitarist, somebody to play the chords, and then two guitarists to either switch off or harmonize leads.
But I mean, see, to me, that just doesn't make sense because you've got... imagine if Joe Perry all of a sudden started... splitting all of the lead solos with Brad Whitford of Aerosmith. It just doesn't seem right to me.
No, you have a dominant guy.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Perry's the dominant guy. And then you have somebody who can either harmonize or take over the lead.
Yeah.
Think Leonard Skinner. Okay. There's one guy that's dominant, and then somebody who harmonizes with him, or like at the end of Freebird when he's leaning over panting because he's playing too long, take over the
right.
lead. But think about bands that have three lead guitarists or three guitarists in it, and there's going to be a show on that coming up.
Cool.
Back in 1980, 30 years ago this year, June 23rd, Pat Benatar is discovered singing in a cabaret in New York City.
Woo!
And this one, September 25th, John Bonham of Led Zeppelin is found dead of alcohol poisoning at the age of 32 after a night of drinking at the Old Mill. That's Jimmy Page's home. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't drink anymore, and yeah. I know you seldom drink.
Very, very seldom.
Now, when you did, mm-hmm. I know when I drank, when it was a night of too much,
yeah.
how many was too many?
Oh, I mean.
Six, seven,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, okay.
Less than 10.
Well, yeah.
Same with me. It didn't, you know, these guys that say, oh, I could drink a case. No, you couldn't.
No.
No, you couldn't. It is said that Bonham consumed that night 40.
40?
40 shots of vodka.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 40 beers.
I don't think you can hold 40 beers in your person, but
oh, man.
40 shots of vodka that night. The album they had completed at that time was In Through the Outdoor. It was the last album, and this was one of the songs that you would have heard had they toured. Fool in the Rain, Rock School. Years ago, that's what we're talking about, 1980 anniversary of this, the year 2010. August 4th, after a hiatus of 5 years, John Lennon hits the Hit Factory in New York City and begins to record again.
Oh.
Yeah, the album would be starting over. Hugh McCracken, Earl Slick plays guitars. Tony Levin, who also went on to play with ex-lead singer of Genesis, Peter Gabriel. George Small played keyboards, and Andy Newark plays drums for him.
Mm-hmm.
In August, just going to play a little snippet of this. Chad will put a snippet in. The Sugar Hill Gang and Curtis Blow begin climbing the charts, and a brand new form of music comes out called rap. You ready? Everybody put your hands in the air
and wave them.
Go ahead.
Wave them like you just don't
okay.
care. Because I don't care.
Yeah.
I said a hip hop, the hip it to the hip, hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bang, bang, boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove.
All right, that's enough of that.
I'm still waving my hands.
Yeah, I know.
I don't care.
You had to at least acknowledge that this new format of music was starting. December 6th, U2 plays their first gig at the Ritz in New York. That was 30 years ago. They played I Will Follow, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And on December 8th, 1980, the call came across the radio. Man shot, 1 West 72nd. Mark David Chapman shot and killed John Lennon in front of the Dakota apartment building in New York City. The United States learned of the news through, of all people, Howard Cosell on a Monday night football game between the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. And John Lennon joins a very small select group of people who has a number one posthumous hit. Starting over, Rock School.
Our life together is so precious. Together we have grown.
There's John Lennon on Rock School, and we are talking about the anniversaries of the year 2010, and that's the way we're going to say it, 2010. Do not say 2010.
Takes too long.
We are in 1990.
Wow.
The 20-year anniversary. You know when people say, where did all the time go?
Yeah.
Hey, where did all the time go?
Where'd it go?
I mean, 20 years ago that was. I remember 1990. I also remember there's a Styx album, I think it's Cornerstone, where the first song starts, and Dennis DeYoung starts the song by yelling, "Don't look now, but here come the 80s. Didn't you think about that when you started the song, that that would become dated?
I was actually watching the Karate Kid marathon over the weekend.
That's sad.
And on one of the movies where she says, like, you want me to drive your car? He goes, hey, it's the 80s.
Oh, dated.
Oh, wow.
1990, January 8th, Nothing Compares to You becomes the year's most requested video.
Oh, I remember that song.
Oh, I do too. It's the only song I ever on the radio ever censored.
What?
No, I never censored music except that one. There
what do you
was
mean
such,
you censored it? What are you talking about?
I pulled
about?
It off the air.
Oh.
I always believed
I thought you meant
when
like
I was,
you bleeped it.
No,
what
no, no.
Did you bleep?
No, I remember when I was on the radio, I always believed there are two buttons, either turn it off or uh-huh. change stations.
Okay.
But that one I pulled off the air. That's the only song I ever pulled off the
wow.
air because there was such an outcry from the audience after she tore the picture of the Pope.
Yeah.
January 21st, 1990, MTV Unplugged debuts with Squeeze, The Cars, Elliot Easton, and Sid Straw.
Yeah.
February 17th, the phrase...
We're not worthy! We're not worthy! We're not worthy!
Enters the common vernacular as Aerosmith guest stars on Wayne's World on Saturday Night Live. And finally, the one we're going to play. February 21st, the first heavy metal Grammy goes to, can you do it?
No.
Jethro Tull.
Heavy metal?
That's right. Rather than Metallica. Ready? The very first heavy metal Grammy. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is who was up for it. Here were the people who were up for the first heavy metal Grammy. It was actually heavy metal hard rock.
Mm-hmm.
Iggy Pop for
mm-hmm.
cold metal. Metallica for And Justice for All.
Mm-hmm.
Jane's Addiction for Nothing's Shocking. AC/DC for Blow Up Your Video. And Jethro Tull for Crest of a Knave.
And Jethro Tull won.
Jethro Tull won it instead of Metallica.
Huh.
Well, of course they had to win it. It just shows how much the people at the Grammys are out of touch with the actual music that they're voting on.
I guess so.
Here's Jethro Tull, Bungle in the Jungle. Rock School.
Walking through forests of palm tree apartments, scoff at the monkeys who live in their dark tents. Down by the water hole, drunk every Friday.
Jethro Tull.
Yeah, I bet James and Lars didn't feel like going out for a bungle in the jungle that night.
No, they were very angry.
Dude, that was so much of a gimme that they probably stood up before they even said, and the winner is.
Yeah.
I would have.
I still remember, I'm trying to think of that, Gary Shandling, I think, was the host that time. And it was so obvious they were going to win. Shandling was even playing with them from the stage.
Yeah.
He looked down and said, flutist, flautist. Metallica, which one is it? Flutist or flautist? I still remember that. They were supposed to win it so blatantly, but all it did was show how out of touch the voters were. You know, they were having, like, you know, Henry Mancini deciding on the hard rock.
And
things have been changed since then.
And if you're Jethro Tull, how in the world do you come up with a thank you speech?
They didn't.
Knowing that you weren't supposed to win it.
They didn't. They didn't show up.
Well, that's smart on their part.
They knew they weren't going to win.
Hmm.
So, also back in 1990 on June 23rd, You Can't Touch This by the baggy pantsed MC Hammy.
The Hammer. Reverend.
Yeah. Hits number one and a phenom is created. And this one, August 13th, Curtis Mayfield, now listen to this.
What?
Is playing a concert in Brooklyn.
Okay.
A wind gust brings down the lighting rig. It hits him on the head, paralyzing him from the neck down.
Are you serious?
Honest to goodness. Here's Superfly, Curtis Mayfield, Rock School. Can you believe that? A lighting rig came down, broke his neck, and paralyzes him. He dies some years later.
And
but
look, if they ever asked me to play an outdoor concert, I would fool.
I'd do it. I'd do. I mean, anything to get on stage. Welcome to the bottom of the hour. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
And we are going to do 7 days and 70 seconds. This is outside of the anniversary show. Something that happened on these dates all the way back when, Monday, January 11th through Sunday, January 17th. Chad has Monday. Go.
All right. Monday, January 11th. 10 years ago in the year 2000, singer Whitney Houston was caught in the Hawaiian airport with some of the devil's lettuce in her purse.
Crack is whack.
That's marijuana for all you non-druggies out there.
Crack is whack.
Yeah, man.
Marijuana's okay, though. 10 years ago, on January 12th, Sharon Osbourne quits as manager of the Smashing Pumpkins.
January 13th, 10 years ago, in the year 2000, Sean Combs, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. P. Diddy, a.k.a. Diddy, a.k.a. Diddly-Doo, a.k.a. Doo-Doo-Bah. He is indicted by a New York grand jury on charges of criminal possession of a weapon. What are you laughing at?
All the names. January 14th, Thursday this time, but back 15 years ago, country star and Grand Ole Opry member Vic Willis dies in a car accident in Tennessee.
January 15th, that's a Friday in 2010, but 45 years ago in 1965, The Who released their debut album. It was called I Can't Explain.
Saturday, January 16th, 40 years ago, citing obscenity charges, English police in London shut down a John Lennon art exhibit. And then Sunday, wrapping up the week, January 17th, R&B singer in 1970, R&B singer Billy Stewart and three of his band members are killed when their car goes off a road in North Carolina. And that wraps up 7 days in 70 seconds. We got one more for you here in 1990, 20-year anniversary. August 27th, Stevie Ray Vaughan is killed in a helicopter following a concert at Alpine Valley Music Theater in East Troy, Wisconsin.
Oh, I remember that. And I mean, he was and will always be one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. King of the head-cutting duels. Here's Cold Shot. Rock School.
Once was a sweet thing, baby. Held out a love and
okay, one more. One more from 1990. We did something with rap earlier in the show, but I got to give this anyone. We're going to stop, collaborate, and listen.
Oh, hush up.
In 1990, November 3rd, Vanilla Ice becomes the first white solo rap artist to top the charts with Ice Ice Baby.
So it was 1990?
It was 1990.
Believe this or else.
Okay.
I was out wrapping my pipes the
yes.
other day at before the first hard freeze. My cell phone rings.
Yeah.
And it's my good buddy that owns a construction company. He's going to Tennessee to the mountains to camp out.
Yeah.
And he has a very important question for me.
Oh, dear.
Tell my wife that Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby is not part of the 80s genre, because we've been arguing for an hour, and I knew you'd know the answer. I said, no, I believe it was early 90s, in fact, 91. Well, that's what I said, 91, but it's not 80s. I said, no, it's not 80s. All right, thank you. Goodbye.
Really?
That was the conversation.
Well, see, you've made yourself out to be an expert on the subject. Sad that Ice Ice Baby was it, but
yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the year 2000. These elements are all a 10-year anniversary.
Yep.
Carlos Santana, after seemingly going away into God knows where, comes out of the clear blue sky with the album Supernatural. It wins four hits, 8 Grammys, and we cannot stop listening to the song Smooth.
No.
Rock School. Chad, did you ever use Napster?
Once or twice.
I tried it a few times and just to see how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds like I'm lying, but I never used the other ones, LimeWire, because it was called VirusWire and such. But in all honesty, I didn't do a lot of the illegal downloading.
Mm-hmm.
When we get back from the break, we'll play one from the band who decided to start taking down Napster. You can probably tell who the band is because on April 13th of 2000, the announcements were made Napster was going to court. Hello, WBSD Burlington, Wisconsin. You're running this radio station, and because of it, you're good people.
As is the good folks in Radio Universidad Salamanca, Spain.
1 minute. Back in a moment. Rock School. Okay, those of you who are regular listeners can probably tell we're talking about Metallica, who decided to go ahead and sue Napster. They were joined almost immediately by Dr. Dre. Limp Bizkit went the opposite direction. Almost immediately, they announced a tour sponsored by Napster. Real quickly, in 2000, Metallica discovered that a demo of the song I Disappear, which was for one of the Mission Impossible movies, mm-hmm. was found on Napster being pushed around. Lars Ulrich, who really pushed this whole thing around, decided to bring a suit against them under three areas: copyright infringement, unlawful use of digital audio interface devices. I didn't even know that was a law.
Wow.
And also racketeering influenced under the Corrupt Organizations Act. Wow.
Well, you can't racketeer. I mean, you just can't.
No, that you can't do. Now, dig this. How much could people possibly be using it? Seriously. I mean, how much? Possibly. How much could it be done?
I don't know.
Metallica hires a firm called NetPD and monitors Napster for a weekend.
Okay.
Just a weekend.
Uh-huh.
335,435 Napster users shared Metallica's music. Over 48 hours. Unbelievable. And you think to yourself, because what a lot of kids do, they'll say, well, music costs too much. I should get it for free. Uh-huh. And blah, 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 blah. Think about that. That's over a third of a million.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that for 48 hours. How much money are you taking out of these people's pockets?
A lot.
Oh, well, they make too much money anyway. Really? Yeah. Well, how much money should they make?
Right.
And who gets to decide how much money you make?
Mm-hmm.
How about me? How about I decide how much you make? Oh, no. Anyway, you're deciding how much they make. Sorry they make a ton of money, but you learn an instrument, you go play on the road for 10 years, you get discovered, and you become a millionaire.
Wow, you're a little passionate about
this, huh? It bugs me to no end when somebody thinks they should get something for nothing just because they can. That bugs me to no end. Thank you, I'm done now. Okay. Here's I Disappear, Metallica, Rock School.
Yeah, I got a confession to make.
What's that?
Well, you didn't give me the memo that we were going to be playing I Disappear.
Yeah, it was a last minute.
Yeah, I don't have that piece of music, so I have to download it. I'm kidding.
Clever.
I got the disc in my hand right here.
Yeah, very nice, which you stole. 10 years ago, the June 30th of the year 2000, at a festival in Denmark, 9 fans are killed at a Pearl Jam concert.
What?
Yeah, the ground was wet, and fans were surging forward, mm-hmm. and those who died did so because they slid and fell and rolled, and all the people rolled on top of them.
Wow.
And it was just a bad, 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 bad scene.
Pearl Jam is a band that I just don't get.
I like their early, early stuff.
Me too.
I don't understand.
When they came out with
stuff.
The 10 album, I loved it. Of course, that was the time when Eddie Vedder, Scott Stapp from Creed, and Scott Weiland from Stone Temple Pilots were all arguing over the same voice.
Yeah.
Give me back my voice. But their stuff has just gotten a little bit stranger and stranger and stranger to the point where I don't really care to listen to them anymore.
Well, then playing a song by them kind of is weird at this point.
Yeah.
I guess we'll finish on Pearl Jam. Here's Nothing As It Seems from Binatural.
Oh, thanks
a
lot.
That wraps it up. We'll see you next week. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Disgusted Pete.
Yeah. Class is dismissed.